thank you so much for joining us. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We have some guests in the green room who we are going to check in with about the Santa Hustle. And I know that a lot of people love getting geared up. Like a 5K is about the right run, I think, for anyone who's thinking about, oh, I should try one of these fundraisers, one of these events.
Yeah.
And that's a good one to start. I know there's also a turkey trot coming up in my neighborhood in Edison Park. Do you ever do any of these? I've never, ever done a run. I've done the stair climbs.
Yeah.
I've never done a big run.
I
5K
did.
Or anything.
Oh, you know what I did years ago was the rock and roll run, which ends up in Grant Park, and that's always so cool. Bill Rancic kind of.
Which one's this?
It's the rock and roll run,
cool.
It's for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Bill Rancic usually kind of puts it together. At least he did in years past, and it's so much fun. And they have, all these runs are great, and they're for so many wonderful causes. But this one. Ended with a rock concert.
Oh, there you
which
go.
Was always very kind of, which was kind of cool at the end.
Going out with a bang.
And the color run, have you ever done that?
No.
That's really fun, too. It's like people throw, I know, again, it's crazy, but it's always for great causes. People throw kind of like chalk on you, so by the end
you're like multicolored.
Yeah, you're multicolored.
You're like a Jackson Pollock painting
exactly.
When you're done.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yep, you're
like
a Kandinsky.
Oh, yeah. We're going to check it with our friends. They're raising money for Bare Necessities Charity, a pediatric cancer foundation. They're dedicated to eliminating pediatric cancer and providing hope and support to those who are touched by it. So let's check in with our friends in just a moment. We come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis at 720 WGM. Not only is Santa coming to town, but he's going for a run. It is the 10th annual Santa Hustle, and it's more than a race. It's a memorable experience, and it's family-friendly. There are cookie and candy stations all along the course, and we're excited to have in studio with us. We have Courtney Krupa from the Bear. Am I saying your last name right?
Krupa.
Come on closer to that microphone. I'll say your name right if you talk right into that so we can hear your beautiful voice.
Thank you.
That's Courtney Krupa from Bare Necessities Charity, which is, again, a pediatric cancer foundation. We also have in studio with us Aaron Del Mar, who is the race founder. And I want to find out how, Andrea, have you ever done, you said you haven't done the Santa Hustle.
I've covered the Santa Hustle, but I've never run the Santa Hustle.
Okay. Well, you don't have to run it. You can walk it.
I know.
Crawl it, whatever you want to do.
Like, oh, my God. You can walk? That's a good
thing. There you go. Yeah.
70% of our people are walkers.
Yeah, go for a stroll.
Bring the strollers, bring the dogs, line up in the back, no problem.
And candy, cookies, and Christmas carols along the way. Oh, how could you not want to participate in this race?
And who doesn't want a huge finisher medal for everyone? Uh-huh. It'd be like Flavor Flav in the back.
Nice. And it's all at Soldier Field, so you get to be on this iconic stadium, having fun and connecting with people. It's wonderful. Now, you started this 10 years ago, you guys?
Yeah, I started the Santa Hustle 10 years ago. It was an idea that we came up with. We wanted to do something fun in the city. We're like, hey, how can we get everyone to be a part of it? And they're like, let's dress them all up like Santa. So every participant that goes to SantaHustle.com and registers gets a Santa hat, Santa beard. This year, they're getting an Under Armour Dry Fit hoodie. Okay. Everyone gets a hoodie for it. Cookie station, like you said, candy station, and of course that big finisher medal. We're gonna have some live reindeer on site. They're gonna be out there, so you want to take some pictures.
That's
selfie
so
stations
cute.
On the course as you're running through. You got to go through the mistletoe station. Amazing. Santa Hustle. In the 10 years we're doing it, we've had 5 engagements at the finish line. So there's a little bit of love, a little bit of Valentine's going
romantic.
On. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I love that.
We get it. But we wouldn't be able to have this great race without our partner charity. We brought on Bare Necessities this year. Our office has been touched with childhood leukemia twice, which is I don't know what the odds are. She would probably know the odds better, but both of our staff members, both of them had daughters that ended up having leukemia. One survived already. One's going through it right now. Mm-hmm. And when we were looking at who could be a new partner for us, one of them said, hey, look, what's Bare Necessities? They're giving out bear hugs. I'm like, bear hug? What's a bear hug? And she could tell you.
Yeah, bear hug is a customized experience for a child battling cancer. It's to provide them with hope and joy just to kind of get them through what they're going through and make them feel like a kid again.
Right. Yeah, and Bare Necessities, we were saying too, your website is so wonderful. I know you were touched by this. By childhood cancer, with a personal experience,
yes,
too.
My little brother was diagnosed with Wilms' tumor when he was 3 years old and unfortunately lost his battle after 5.5 years. Aww. But it was actually his idea to do something to help other kids with cancer, and we're just making his dream a reality.
Well, and that's the thing is that, his story doesn't stop there, right? He continues to grow with this foundation, and sure. That's such a lovely legacy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he want to help other kids? It had to be partly from the support from his own family.
Yeah. We've been around for 26 years now, so it was quite a ways back when this all started, but back when Bear was in the hospital, there weren't the flat screen TVs, mm-hmm. and there weren't DVD players and things to do, and he really saw a lot of the kids there that didn't have family there all the time and didn't have siblings coming to visit or didn't have a game to play with. And so it just started with some of those little things saying, well, why don't they have something like that I have? And he said, how can we help, some of these other kids?
How selfless.
I love the bear hug. It's almost like it's like make a wish where mm-hmm. you get a wish. Talk a little bit about the bear hugs and what they are, and they're kind of customized for every kid.
Yeah, so every kid has a different personality, and just depending on what that personality is and what their interests are, develops into something that they want to do. So it could be anything from a sports game to a concert, maybe a play. We were just talking about Kalahari Resorts.
Yeah, one of our staff members, her daughter wanted the bear hug to be to Kalahari, so the Bear Necessities sent them all up, the whole family, two parents and three kids, and they stayed up there for a full weekend, which mm-hmm. was awesome. I saw the pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, this is a group we got to get behind. This is a group that we want to bring in. This fits right into our own culture, and we know a little bit about it because we've been touched by it. So.
We've had some great ones where a kid wanted to be a pirate for a day, so we got him up on the tall ships and had him out there. Someone wanted to spend a night in a castle. We had a volunteer that found a castle somewhere in Illinois and was able to spend the night there. And
that's
awesome. It can go from one extreme to the next.
And it's lovely because when a family is struck by cancer and is all of a sudden in emergency mode, having something to give them to light up the kid's life mm-hmm. to make them look forward to something is really wonderful.
Yeah, something to look forward to and something to make them feel like a kid again.
Yes, yes. I think that's mm-hmm. the most important thing too. Because the parents are going through all these appointments and treatments, and they're for a while they're just a patient. Right? Rather than that lovely kid who had so much going on. Tell us how people can get involved for this run. We're gonna take a break in a few moments, but I want to make sure that people have the information that they need so they can register, pick up packets.
Yeah, so they can go to santahustle.com mm-hmm. and they can register right there online. They can register through Facebook at Santa Hustle on Facebook. And one thing I wanted to just chime in real quick is that they've never turned down a bear hug to anyone.
Oh.
There's not
always make it happen.
Everyone's gotten that bear hug. That's a big deal. So that's another reason they've never turned anyone away. So you can register for the race December 1st at Soldier Field. Kicks off at 9 a.m. So it's a little bit later. So we have some more sun. Hopefully we're going to be in that 55 degree weather. We've got our fingers crossed.
That's good because the one year we covered it, there were a couple guys dressed up with from the Speedo run.
Yeah.
They came with the their Santa Speedos on. And it was cold out.
Well, we're going to give everyone a dry fit hoodie.
I know you are.
So, santahustle.com.
And hot cocoa and cookies. You can't beat that.
And when you register also, and you're during the registration, as you're being a part of the event and, making your support for pediatric cancer, you can make a direct donation right off our website during the registration process that goes directly to Bear Necessities. A portion of the proceeds from the Santa Hustle goes to Bear Necessities, and they got some charity runners out there. And every kid that they're sending our way that has had or has been touched, or family members that have pediatric cancer will be in the Kids Dash for free, too, so that we underwrite.
Oh, let's talk about the Kids Dash when we come back. Everyone can visit santahustle.com. The race is on Saturday, December 1st. It's going to be at 8:30 a.m. at Soldier Field. Participants will receive a Santa hat and beard and a dry fit sweatshirt, as well as a finisher's medal. So you don't have to run. You can walk. You can whatever mode of getting to the finish line. We all want to get there with Bear Necessities and this incredible Santa Hustle. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis when we come back on 720 WGN. I don't know if Santa's going to be running in a thong at the Santa Hustle. I don't know what that does to the kids. We are hanging out with our friends from the Santa Hustle. It's the 10th anniversary, and this year they've partnered with Bear Necessities Charity. We have in studio with us Aaron Del Mar and Courtney Krupa, and you are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. The race is on Saturday, December 1st, and Andrea, we really do have to get out to some of these races and stuff.
Oh, I know, and this one's, they're all great. This one's so much fun, and for Bear Necessities, you have to support it.
And where can people, I know we've sent people to the website for the Santa Hustle. Where can we also send them for information on how they can maybe donate directly to Bear Necessities?
Sure. You can go right to our website. It's bearnecessities.org. It's B-E-A-R necessities.org. Mm-hmm. And there's information on there about our organization and places to donate, places to volunteer, and more information.
And you'll also have a gift card tree. Tell us a little bit about this. Is this at the race? So folks can bring a, instead of bringing toys, because right. a lot of times people want to make donations and they want to know how to help at the holiday season. So you can bring gift cards for families with children that are suffering with pediatric cancer, and you have a list of the cards that you'd like to get donations from. So
yeah, they can check it off our website. We partner up with Toys for Tots in the past, and they're a great group to work with. And as we're talking with Bear Necessities and we're learning more about it, they started talking about the gift cards, and I'm like, what are they talking about these gift cards? And go ahead, you tell us about the gift cards.
The gift cards are part of our Bear Hugs program, which we also do family support services. So mm-hmm. a lot of these families need cards for gas to get to, yes. to oh, and from yeah. treatments, you know, groceries for the other kids that are at home.
Mm-hmm. Gas.
Yeah, all that stuff. So yeah. that stuff is really important. So the more we can collect, the more we can provide for our families.
Yeah. So we thought yeah. it would be a great idea. I'm like, hey, you know, why don't we do these gift cards? Like, if anybody wants to come in, you know, whatever denomination, everything is appreciated. And we're going to give them all to Bear Necessities so they can give them out to the families as an additional way to try to drive some support and make an impact on the community.
Right. Because I love that you also have, like, you know, the grocery stores, right? You get a gift card for that, because sometimes they just don't have even the wherewithal to, like, set money aside and right. go do that. Taking care of themselves, the families have a tough time mm-hmm. focusing on anything except for, again, the emergency in front of them, you right. know, which is their child's well-being.
Oh, and these things have a ton of, you know, fiscal impact on the family and on the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gift cards for these specialty, you know, these items, like you said, gas and for food and for all these different needs, really make a tremendous impact on the family. To get them where they want, you know, need to be and where they want to go with it.
Of course.
And I love, and we were mentioning the website as well, which is great. And there's, you know, you can get information about Bear Hugs too. But Bear Discoveries, I think yes. this is really cool. You provide grants as well, mm-hmm. which is so important.
We do. We fund research all across the country, into Canada and a little bit into Europe. Anything that's research towards a cure or better therapies for pediatric cancers.
That's wow. outstanding work.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit. I know that you talked about your brother.
Yes.
Who you lost at he was very young, mm-hmm. battled cancer for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. What has it been like for you being able to help with Bear Necessities and spread this to other families who, you know, are struggling?
Yeah. You know, like I said before, I think it's really bringing Bear's dream into a reality. And that's where we got the name Bear Necessities. His name was Barrett, but we call him Bear.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was his idea to really do this. And my mom really turned her grief into a passion and a drive to create this organization with him. And I just kind of followed along in the footsteps and, sure. you know, had that passion there with it being my brother. And I've seen the struggles that families have, and I see the struggles that the kids have. And just knowing that no matter what part of Bear Necessities you're helping or whatever you're doing, you're making an impact on these children's lives.
And we've been talking about your website, which is so great too, because there's so many ways to get involved mm-hmm. as well. You can volunteer, participate in a golf outing, which mm-hmm. I think is very cool, host an event, and join a kids club, which I think is great for the kids
yeah.
too.
Yeah, lots of options for all types of people and different ways that they can get involved. We have internships, we have volunteer opportunities at the office, we have volunteer opportunities at all of our events. So there's a lot out there.
And people want to help too. That's what it comes down mm-hmm. to, you know. As we get, especially when we get closer to the holidays,
oh, yeah.
they, you know, the idea that a family is dealing with something so scary, you want to, you know, give them some joy, especially at this time of the year.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the reasons we liked it, because it felt like it really was a great way to partnership together. Because, you know, we do this Santa Hustle the first Saturday of every December. Right. This is what kicks off the holiday season. This is not even, it's like a tradition now for a lot of our people. We kind of look at our demographics and we look at our people that register, and we're getting like an 80% retention rate. So people are doing it year after year in their family. And if you see that they're saying on Facebook, you know, it is that type of event where we're bringing people closer together. And this is a way to kick off the Christmas spirit. And if we can do it and help people and raise awareness, I mean, that's a win for everybody.
It absolutely is. And you mentioned earlier that you've got these great stories going back of people getting engaged at the Santa Hustle. Yeah. So this is a great social event for people, too.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking to a lot of single people who are trying to figure out how to meet other people, not necessarily going to get engaged.
Right.
But, you know, if there's something that you're passionate about, this is also a way to, you know, work out a little bit, meet a lot of people, right?
We have a ton of, like, Chicago singles groups used to come out and participate with us. They've been out there. Chicago Social Group has partnered up with us, and they come out. There's a ton of that. It's because you know what, you get wild and crazy when you come to the event. It's like the North Pole. I mean, we have these giant inflatable Santas. If you go to our website and look at the video, it's filmed here in Chicago. You can see it. But here's a really cool way to do it too. If you ever get a chance, go to on YouTube and just you know, YouTube Santa Hustle, and you see everybody else's, where the guy's in the middle with his phone doing a 360,
right,
surrounded by 5,000, 6,000 Santas marching down Soldier Field. I mean, you just can't help but get caught up in the excitement and the hype, and you can either have fun and dress up like Santa and no one's gonna make fun of you because everyone's dressed up.
How can you not have fun with 8,000 Santas or 8,600 Santas?
And then if you want to volunteer, we were talking about, you can you can volunteer and you get an elf costume.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you get to, it's like a win-win situation.
It is.
Everyone that volunteers, you can register at Bear Necessities or at the Santa Hustle. If you come out and volunteer, you get a full elf outfit, and you get, you know, we get you some donuts and breakfast, and you get cookies, of course. You know, I mean, you got to test it out. But how are we supposed to do this? We have about 250 volunteers at Bear Necessities and us combined to do it. Because if you're going to have 5,000-6,000 Santas, you better have your elves out there. Where's your support staff?
Absolutely. Support staff. Aaron, we want to see you in the elf costume next time.
No doubt about it. And everyone can register to join the Santa Hustle. Go to santahustle.com and bearnecessities.com.
B-E-A-R.org.
Bearnecessities.org. That's B-E-A-R, necessities.org. And again, the race is on Saturday, December 1st. Kickoff at 8:30 a.m. You can probably get there early, hang out with everybody, get some snacks. And you'll receive a Santa hat and beard, a sweatshirt to wear while running, and you'll get a finisher's medal, plus the kids dash. How long is the kids dash?
Kids dash is like a little bit less than half a mile.
There
and
you go.
And, you don't have to run with the kids. If you want to run your kids, you can, but all of our people are running with them, and you know, it's a great time, everyone. And those kids all get medals and hats and beards too. We're gonna give them all some good gear to go home with.
That's so much fun. And if you add on the Santa Hustle Mrs. Claus package, you'll also get a red tutu, some arm warmers, candy cane socks, and some Two-Faced tattoos. I love
That.
You guys are making it fun for everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We wish you the best of luck and look forward to having you back. We want to know, keep us up to date on what's going on at Bear Necessities the time, Courtney. And of course, Aaron, love to hear from you again.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Wellness Wednesday, and so we want to talk about your mental wellness, and that affects your physical wellness as well. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and joining us in studio is Dr. Deborah Kissen. She is the Executive Director of Light on Anxiety Treatment Center, CBT. CBT seems a totally different treatment center.
There's some CBD, but we're talking cognitive behavioral therapy, so CBT.
So cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, give people a little bit of insight as we have this conversation as to how they can incorporate that if that's a path they want to seek.
So when looking for different kinds of therapy, when you hear the term cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT, really the key ingredients of that are there's an action orientation. So there is some sitting back and talking and reviewing, but there's also a whole lot of creating change and creating new behaviors that are effective. And sometimes that might be even in session, bringing in a pile of bills and actually starting to go through that which you're avoiding.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, or
I'm not bringing you my bills, but that's brilliant.
But sometimes it's just kind of jump starting doing that thing that you don't want to do and all the procrastination and all of the fear that's getting in the way. So sometimes it's helping someone create a dating profile. Sometimes it's making a doctor's appointment that they've been avoiding making. So in doing that, we consider that kind of an exposure because you're facing that which you fear.
And do you help people identify, like, you know, one of the things I do with stand-up comics when they talk about, you know, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. I ask them, well, what do you think is the worst thing that will happen? Mm-hmm. What is it you're afraid of? Are you afraid of the actual delivery of the joke or the reaction? Do you go through that with folks? Because
I think you're kind of a closet therapist. You're really good. You've got a lot of... You go right to the therapeutic technique. I've noticed that.
Well, because I think that if people say it out loud, if you can identify it, then you can maybe work. I have no solutions.
But that is a that sometimes we call it a downward arrow, where someone will say, well, if I give this presentation, then my, and I mess up, then my boss will judge me. Okay, right. And what would be so bad about that? Well, then exactly. Maybe I get fired. Okay, what would be so bad about that? Well, then I'll end up homeless. What would be so bad about that? It kind of seems like a mean exercise in some ways, because we're trying to get down to that core fear. And for each person, that's going to be a little bit different. And then what's so bad about that? Well, then I will be so ashamed and everyone will hear, yeah. Everyone will know that I'm a loser, versus for someone else, it might be, well, then I'll disappoint my family and I won't provide for them the way that I should have, and I'll have to live with that. So getting to that core fear, then you could start playing with that. But if you don't really know what's below yeah. the other fears, it's harder to face it. And it's pretty unique for each person.
We stack so much on top, right?
Yeah. So you just sort of see the top level. But okay, but what's really beneath that? And then you can kind of get in there and start freeing yourself.
And also, too, right, because everyone is different. Mm-hmm. You know, what bothers you or what bothers Patty or what our fears are right. or anxiety, what, right. you know, is totally different. I'll always, you know, if I say something to someone, they're you know, some people will say, well, it could always be worse. You know, mm-hmm. it could be, you could have so-and-so, or it could be this, it could be that. But, you know, I don't think you should compare different people's
right.
issues and problems.
Right, and because then sometimes people feel, so not only maybe are they afraid of something, are they feeling despair or sadness, but then it's like, but I shouldn't feel this because I have a roof over my head and I have this, and so I don't have the right to feel bad. And the point is, hard feelings are hard feelings. So whether you're feeling a hard feeling because something happened to you during the day, you're feeling a hard feeling for something quote-unquote bigger, either way, that's suffering, and you have to move through that, and right. it's valid. It's so discounting your own suffering doesn't get you very far.
Right.
That's important, I think, to say for people to themselves, mm-hmm. to honor their own feelings
right,
and go
right.
and to identify it, right?
Because
if you don't identify, like if you're feeling angry, you're often not angry just at traffic. Look, we all know that traffic is annoying. Ugh. But, you know, is there something else that is making that so accessible,
right.
your rage?
Right. right.
What's lifting that lid up? And right now we're living in a time when everything is so immediate. And you mentioned when we came in, mm-hmm. talking about the sort of overload of information, mm-hmm. whether it's the news, but it's also these arguments that people, I've withdrawn from social media a little bit. Like I'll throw things out on Twitter once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night, you know, this whole idea of, you know, doctors and the NRA arguing
right.
with each other. Like I kind
right.
of, you know, looking at that and going, wow, this is a really weird battle that group, those two groups
yeah.
are in. And ultimately, people just kind of want the best. You know, they are so defensive of what they believe in. So how do you help people get through the idea of that everyone just wants to be heard?
Right.
I think is part of that.
Right.
So the sensory overload of information, how do you help people sort of manage that?
I mean, sometimes it's really going on a media diet and,
yes.
and coming up. It's like the food pyramid, the media pyramid. So deciding how much of, you know, at the top of your, you know, the, what are you going to get the most of in terms of how you're determining healthy interactions with media? And so what I tell people is you don't have to bury your head in the sand and say, okay, I'm just going to pretend the world is perfect and I'm going to just, I don't want to hear about all the hard things in life. So I'm just going to turn away. And that's not ideal either, because you can't run from reality, but at the same time, flooding yourself is not going to give you the strength to create change in your life and in the world. So it's kind of finding a balance. And also, if you go to primary news sources and hear and then make your own interpretation versus going through social media or and hearing other people's interpretations and then their emotional reactions, you're taking on so much more emotion versus just, how am I reacting to this? What do I want to do about it?
Yep.
And you're not the only one. I had a friend who left social media, and she said she felt so much better. And it wasn't so much for what she was seeing or not seeing in the media. It was because she always felt like she was missing something.
Right.
So say you and Pat, you know, say we're all here talking, and she thinks, oh, we're all friends, I should be there. Or you guys are all out to dinner, why didn't you guys ask me to go to dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, somewhat irrational, but her thinking was, you know, she always felt like she was missing something or being left out. And she's like, I was so much happier. She eventually went back, but, mm-hmm. you know, but it was taking a break.
Yeah,
for
kind of
yourself.
A cleanse and kind of rebooting things and then maybe coming back in a more manageable way. Maybe it's setting certain time limits. Like, okay, I'm just going to look for this much time, but then setting an alarm and really sticking to it and getting off.
Do you think we read into things, though, with social media?
Oh,
like,
of course.
You know, and no, I mean, even with a text, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'll put, sounds good. Or sometimes if I'm maybe driving or shouldn't be near my phone, I'll just mm-hmm. put, like, thumbs up or okay or K. And people are like, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, someone put, I texted someone one time. But you're absolutely right. But yeah. someone will put like thanks, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh,
what do you mean thanks? But it's so stupid.
But say it's someone who you really felt deeply confident in the relationship. What do you think? You would read, or someone would read into it as much. I know, like, if I think in my own life, the ones that maybe I'm a little more, what does that mean? That probably says something, versus. If I'm not reading into it, it could be the same.
Yeah.
Really,
it says more about the relationship.
Yeah, I think it sort of says that there's something maybe that you're unsure of someone's intentions, or because I'm sure for each person
that's
there are some people that you would just assume they're just in a rush, but for someone else it's like that seems a little
abrupt.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of. I think you're right. There are times when you're not quite sure, and then when you see someone like text back and realize that they've taken it a different way, you're like, okay. I think it's hard to separate yourself emotionally, mm-hmm. and because it's impossible. You're talking yeah. to somebody that you obviously have a relationship with, mm-hmm. whether it's business mm-hmm. or friendship or romantic, and to just go, you know, at some point, I mean, if you have a question about it, you just go, hey, what's going on? Are you worried about something?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, isn't it, to have those conversations?
I think people are getting, maybe losing some of that skill set.
Yes.
As we're having less one-on-one and mm-hmm. intimate conversations. And going for these sort of proxies of communication, that it's a skill to be able to interact with each other and have honest exchanges and be vulnerable, and it takes practice. So.
Well, right. And the other thing is that sometimes those things aren't personal. Like, mm-hmm. like it's hard to step back and go, oh, maybe that person's just in a rush, or they've got something else going on. It has nothing to do with me. That's the other thing, too, is not everything is about us. And that's hard to imagine with mm-hmm. so much of what we put online. Mm-hmm. The other thing to keep in mind, and I try to do this, is I just don't get sucked in anymore when it comes to an argument on social media. I can see, I mm-hmm. often start writing something and then just delete it. At least I've created it, and then I delete it.
That's smart. That's
yeah.
smart, because that's what you should do, right? So if something angers you or whatnot, write the email.
Yep.
And don't send it. Wait like a day
yeah,
or even
bed.
A few
yes.
hours.
Yeah,
and then
that
go
pause
back.
Is
yes.
very... And then once the emotion has sort of passed a little bit, then you could decide, you could choose versus react. And you might do the same thing, but at least it's coming from kind of your wise mind
right.
versus your emotional mind.
I don't know if my wise mind is awake anymore. We are talking to Dr. Deborah Kissin. She is the Executive Director of Light on Anxiety Treatment Center, CBT Treatment Center. What's the website so people can find out more information?
It is lightonanxiety.com.
Lightonanxiety.com. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis when we come back on 720. WGN. I don't want to panic anyone, but Thanksgiving is next week. Thanksgiving is next week. Andrea, it's yep. much earlier. I know it's always the fourth Thursday of November, but
yes.
this the fourth Thursday is the 22nd.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize it was going to cause me any anxiety, Doc, but we have Dr. Deborah Kissin in studio. We didn't
yeah.
book you because I started getting anxious.
I'm here for your Thanksgiving
yes.
or anxiety, so that's my specialty.
Well, and I feel like I'm the only person that starts to get... I think that going back to my childhood, it was just a very small gathering. It was me and my parents. We rarely ever had anybody else as part of our celebration. And my dad and I would often get into fights, especially as I became a teenager. And then when I met my husband, I was like, oh, look at this. He's got five sisters. It's always going to be, you know, a lot of celebration. And then, you know, you get into their drama.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I start getting like, anxiety, like different things that because you have like a year between when
right.
crazy annoying things happen,
right?
And I need to let them go, don't I?
Do you see them more than Thanksgiving though?
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and sometimes in the summer.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Because I was gonna say if you see them more,
yes.
I wonder if that adds to the anxiety because I don't see my cousins that often, and
yeah.
I love Thanksgiving. I look forward to it, but it's mainly because we only see each other like 3 times a year.
Yeah, we only see them, although sometimes we have to spend a whole week with them for the summer vacations.
Yeah.
So say we did that downward hour. That's maybe it. you don't want to do that in terms of what the, and what's so bad about that. But
right.
Just sort of the just emotional energy
right.
and all of the just.
Well, the thing is that like for us to go into someone else's home with Declan. So mm-hmm. my son has special yeah. needs, so he doesn't sit still. So right. there isn't a moment where both Steve and I can just sit down and right. enjoy the day. Right. So usually Declan likes to sit outside in the cold mm-hmm. underneath the ceiling fan on their enclosed porch. Uh-huh. So for about 2 hours, I'll be outside right. in 30 degree weather. So uh-huh. that's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then when I do go inside, like there'll always be someone who's like, so are you still doing that comedy thing? Are you still doing that radio thing? Are you, you know, or politics comes up and we uh-huh. have people who actually work in DC in this administration and there are people who have different opinions and then that gets to be very stressful. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of stuff that we deal with. Yeah. Anyway, so, but mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people have different reasons as to why they get stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, there wouldn't be all the movies on families getting together for the holidays and if it weren't, it is a very stressful time, and in yeah. fact, probably the highest. Unfortunately, the highest suicide rates are
at the holidays.
Well, at the holidays, and I think maybe even over Christmas is maybe over the year statistically one of the highest.
What should people times. Be aware of when it comes to those the anxiety, you know, and not realizing perhaps that it's because that can be consuming, and if you're letting it take over mm-hmm. the way you're thinking, it's you know those are alarm bells, and sometimes we don't hear them because we're kind of sucked in by it, aren't we?
Right, and I would say there are more moments that you're feeling uncomfortable, whether you're feeling really physically stressed and tense, lots nonstop worry thoughts, engaged in lots of different compulsions or behaviors, try to manage your fears, and signs of depression, feelings of hopelessness, or sleeping too much or not sleeping enough, changes in appetite. So kind of looking out for if it just feels like there are just more hard moments than better moments, chances are there's something that can help get you to feel better and to be able to live more effectively. So there's no reason to wait until you officially meet full criteria for an anxiety disorder or depression or anything else to get a little bit of help. And
right.
speaking to your primary care doctor, there are a lot of ways to get that process started to get a little bit of help, and that could go a long way.
I think one of the sources of our Thanksgiving, I don't even want to say it's sadness, but just maybe a melancholiness mm-hmm. is, you know, every year someone will pass away, you know, yeah. one of the uncles or something. But what we do now is at the start, we'll always do a toast mm-hmm. and we'll always, you know, say everyone's names who just mm-hmm. recently passed and or, you know, it's been 8 years, 9 years, right. however long it's been. But, right. you know, we'll do a little toast, which always, I mean, I think makes everyone feel kind of yeah. nice, like they're there with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's that point in time where you can kind of think, okay, where were we at a year right. ago, and how are things different now, and
yeah.
and going backwards in time and seeing how things are changing mm-hmm. is it's kind of a bittersweet moment, I yeah. think, for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's good to be able to do that together. And that's
it
a
is,
lovely idea.
Yeah, it yeah. is.
How much does the season changing also affect our moods, and what can we do to sort of counter that?
Yeah, and I'd say, depending on, some people are a lot more sensitive to seasonal changes, and just sensitive in general. There are people who are more sensitive if they take a medication to the side effects. And so some people's physiology are just more sensitive, and some people seasons change and might not really be that reactive to that. But I'd say if, as in the changes from summer to fall, if you're starting to notice that maybe your mood is, you're just feeling more irritable, if sleep is changing at all, that number one, as it's starting to get colder and darker, you might also be less active. And so part of it might just be forcing yourself, even though it's dark at 5, to still go for a brisk walk or to go do something social and not get too cozy and wrapped up in a comfy blanket and kind of watching TV and binging on TV at home, but still getting yourself to do things. And that could really help a lot.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then there's light therapy. So a lot of people are trying out those light therapy lamps to try to get more natural, to get more light, to get the brain to stay activated.
A little yeah. bit more positivity. Let's take a break here. We'll be back in a moment. We are talking to Dr. Deborah Kissin. She's the executive director of Light on Anxiety Treatment Center, CBT. treatment center. You can go to lightonanxiety.com. More in a moment on 720 WGN. While Andrea was in the news, I mentioned to my guests, Dr. Deborah Kissin and Todd Belcour, that I have 6,000 messages in my email. And Dr. Kissin was like, well, that sounds stressful. We are talking a little bit about stress, and I wanted to make sure we didn't miss any texts or emails before we allowed the doctor to leave. Not that we were going to bar the door or anything, but I
don't want to leave anyway. So,
oh, that's sweet of you.
I'm here for the long haul.
Excellent. Joe wanted to join the conversation. Here we go. Michael, hey, can you write this down? It's 12:05, and we have an echo on line one.
Wow.
I know it's always you, Joe.
See,
I don't know why.
I can't believe this. I was going to say, is there an echo? Because I'm back to my regular landline.
Yeah, it's 12:06, and there's an echo on Joe's line. We have. I realize that I haven't necessarily written these down. My boss asked me to write them down.
Oh, got it.
All right,
okay,
you talk
it out. I'll brief because I don't like an echo either.
It's all good. Mm-hmm.
Talking to my daughter in Ojai, California, and that's about 20 miles from the places where some of the fires are broken out. You know, Pleasantville's close by and Paradise, if you will.
So scary.
But nevertheless, the topic of time change came up, and she says, Dad, that's on the ballot out here. I said, well, you're kidding me. Well, how did you vote? And she said, well, I was kind of ambivalent. And I said, I chided her because I said, Chris, there's a few studies on it, and most lean towards the major effect is for older people. They more heart attacks, blah, 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 blah. So I got her to think about it, and it's a concern to me, and I gave her a prediction at the end. I said, mark my words, Chris, in your lifetime, you'll see that ridiculous, outdated, obsolescent regulation abolished. She said, yeah, really think so, Dad? I said, yes. The opinion of your expert there.
All right. I will. Thank you so much, Joe. Good to hear from you. When we change our time, you know, when we do the daylight savings, do you find that also? I mean, because it does. It's darker when you get up and mm-hmm. go to work, and then it's dark when you. My husband has a theory that we should move it 3 hours so that you go to work. You know, you move it so that when you go to work, it's still dark because it's going to be dark anyway, but it's still light out when you come home from work, so you still have some daylight at the end of your day.
That's an idea.
Right? I don't think it's ever going to get passed. I don't know if that goes to what Punkin's talking about, but do you think that have you had much thought about the daylight savings and how that affects our moods and health?
I think as the days are getting shorter and darker, I am definitely seeing an increase in symptoms of depression and just overall clients seeming kind of more tired, less motivated, a little less oomph going on.
Yeah.
So that there's something seasonal about that.
That makes
sure.
sense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. We'll of course, we always talk about the daylight savings. By the way, everyone, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, and we have in studio with us Dr. Deborah Kissin. She is the executive director of the Light on Anxiety Treatment Center, CBT Treatment Center. You can go to lightonanxiety.com. And joining us now as well is Todd Belcour. You just got back today from your trip around the world?
I did. I just returned today.
And how would you rate the stress of other countries? Can you visit a country and get a feeling for how stressed out people are?
You can. Yeah. There's no question about it. But I do think on the whole that America is actually far more stressed than a lot of countries that have a lot more dire straits.
Really?
Yes.
What do you think accounts for that when it comes to, you know, the way we approach our stress maybe or talking and you know, having social gatherings together?
Sure. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves based on what we see our people doing on social media and beyond and put that sort of false standard of what should be happy, what joy should look like. And I think what that results in is people just never being able to attain the thing that's actually very simple to attain if you just take a look around you, appreciate what you already have.
Just grab that happiness.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were saying too before you got here, Todd, that, you know, I always say it's best probably not to compare yourself to other people's situations because, yeah, you know, I'll have friends who I'll say, oh my gosh, I'm bummed about whatever it might be. And they'll say, well, it could be worse.
Right.
You could be this person, or you could have this, or you could have this. I was saying that to Dr. Deborah before as well. And she was like, you can't compare yourself to other people or other situations.
Yeah, they say comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, mm-hmm. Comparison
that's
is the
good.
Thief of joy.
I think it was President Roosevelt or something. Nothing to do with me.
Yeah. I didn't. I
was going to give you credit.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, I could just say Todd told me and have to say that he said he wrote it.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I that makes sense. Comparison is the thief of joy. Well, there is something people can do that they don't have to feel like they missed out, which is going to see this event tomorrow night that you're going to be joining with industry TV.
Oh yeah.
And what are you wincing for? You're one of the millennials who on the panel who is bringing change to the world, and of course you do a lot of that work through social change.
That's right.
And tell us about this event.
I'm the long and the tooth millennial on the panel, but
we've determined that it goes up to 36, possibly 38. I say nay nay, but still.
Okay, fair enough. I associate millennials with people who were born in the 2000s, so that kind of puts them.
The bottom end is 1980. 1980.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, 82 is one of the it's but either 80 or 82. People we're trying to stick at 82 as being the oldest.
I say 90. 1990.
90.
But anyway, beyond okay. theorizing about when the appropriate cutoff is.
I'm with you, Todd.
I'm really looking forward to this event. There's no question. It's different standard bearers in different sectors of the social impact industries within a certain age bracket. But certainly the common goal denominator of various work that everyone's engaged in is dedicating all their time and talent to uplifting others. And I think it's something that needs to be celebrated, too rarely is discussed. And I think... the fact that I'll be there to represent Solve and Social Change is a big honor.
And tell folks a little bit about social change and the work that you do. I won't tell the story again about how we met in Springfield. I can tell it off the air.
Thank you. So social change uses advocacy, technology, capacity building, and also culture, frankly, film, art, advocacy, to uplift others through, whether it be economic equity, justice reform, access to the ballot, things that are really basic necessities. And then Solve, of course, is a software company that I'm a founding partner of that allows us to use technology and mechanism to remove barriers to success, to make it easier for people to get jobs, easier for people to get basic skills and some of their needs met that they may otherwise be able to get met through just the general day-to-day sort of process of Chicago.
And I think Todd brings up something important, Dr. Kasem, as well. I kind of wanted to keep you together for at least one segment, which is that, sometimes we just feel helpless. And a lot of the things that that Todd's talking about is reaching for those tools that can improve your life in various ways, whether it's through technology or skills and things like that. But sometimes we just are kind of paralyzed mm-hmm. by, not knowing what to do next, don't you
right.
think?
And when we try to solve problems on our own and we're just reviewing in our minds all of the overwhelming aspects, we tend to think in a circular motion and it's hard to think our way through our own problems. And that's why we humans are meant to connect and work together and share. And by voicing our concerns and areas that we feel stuck with another person, often we can see things objectively and or get some distance, and then with that distance come new ideas and new ways to create change. So I would just say when you're feeling stuck, find someone to connect with and
right.
and talk out loud versus in your own mind, and things will start clearing up a little bit more. So
what's something you would suggest to do to recharge? I mean, I know ideally you'd love to mm-hmm. sleep more or maybe take a vacation, but
yeah.
if you can't, I mean...
There are so many mini steps we could do throughout the day to recharge, and it's really important. For example, on the iWatch, it's really great when it reminds you after an hour, it's time to stand up. It's time. So if you're sitting for over an hour, that's really too long for the human body to be sitting, even to stand up and do a jumping jack
right.
Yeah, like
Mark Harmon used to do that. His
really?
Watch would pop up and he's like, all right, jumping jacks.
Yeah, that stretch, walking
now.
Over and I know.
Now I'm going to stand.
Going and like chewing on an ice cube. Just some kind of sensory break is so important just to change the channel of your mind and feel something different, smell something different. It creates a new mode in your mind. And so
yeah.
it's pretty easy to take little mini reboots.
Oh, mini reboot.
Yeah.
You do all that. Mm-hmm. We have a listener who texted, and I'm not sure, I messaged them back because I wasn't sure what they were driving at, but they said, wondering if you could speak to Thanksgiving and what people think you should do. I'm not sure if they mean in terms of stress or what that means mm-hmm. in terms of what you should do. I think that there's also this expectation of having a great time at Thanksgiving.
But also maybe like a 35-course meal or something like that that may be more involved than some people are able to produce.
So this is something too where I think my husband's he's trying to be very patient with me because he would like me to cook less. Because I do
really?
I do end up cooking. I love to cook. I'm just not a very... organized cook, right? So I sometimes things are sort of staggered. I only have so much space in my kitchen, and then you know, and then there's you know mess upon mess of like different dishes that I'm making. But so I've asked my family to tell me what are the four dishes that they absolutely like that I make, and then we can order the rest from you know from different restaurants and things like that, right? Just pick the ones that you like.
Yeah,
simplify.
Less is more. And so right. Yeah, I think having less expectations. Sometimes all of these big ideas of what we need to do is one more thing that steals happiness versus just whatever we do is enough and then just making the most of that. I know it sounds very hokey, but big ideas often get way too complicated.
See, yeah. I love to cook too, but like the other night you said, I'm going to make chili. I mean, that would make me so happy just to make a pot of chili or a chicken pot pie or something. It doesn't take, you know, 9 million ingredients, right. But it just makes you happy to cook it. And
yep.
People around you like to eat
it. Well, what are the four items that people recommended?
I haven't asked. My husband hasn't told me, my family hasn't told me which ones they like the most that I do. And the thing is that I messed up Christmas dinner last year. Everything was good except for the gravy. I made the worst gravy and I spent so much time on it. It was awful. Oh, it was so
was it salty or something?
No, it was too citrusy.
Citrusy. It was
yeah, exactly.
Oh no.
That was not an adjective that came to mind.
Terrible. It was so bad.
It tasted like orange juice.
Yeah, exactly. Lemon. I had lemon in it. It was the worst gravy I've ever made. I was so disappointed. But see, the thing is, I like all of it. I like the cream spinach. I like the sweet potatoes. Sometimes I like it, you know, whether it's mashed or I like it with the marshmallows and the pecans. For me, it is all about enjoying the food together. But this listener is saying that it's more about the expectation. So I guess you have to ask yourself, what are you expecting?
Yeah.
Right. And if you're expecting it to be negative, and I think I already talked through some of the things that I don't necessarily tell my husband, it's hard for us to go to do Thanksgiving. So you have to manage that. So what can I do to make that more fun? Definitely bring blankets this time to sit in the outside with my son and be okay with the fact that I'm out there, you know, and I'm not necessarily part of the whole celebration sometimes. And then neither is he. We take turns to watch Declan.
And sometimes even the expectation that you're supposed to be happy, and it's an expectation that you're supposed to be with people who care about you, sometimes that could feel really hard when you put the expectation of happiness.
Right, on them and on yourself, right? I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Don't expect to be happy.
Yeah, but
wow, I can't wait till Thanksgiving, you guys.
Fulfilled, whatever that means to you.
Right.
But sometimes the sort of idea of what happiness is supposed to look like and can be hard for people and not always accurate. It doesn't...
Right. And I guess to not... here's the way I look at it. Is it's okay to expect chaos. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Right.
The fact that, like, maybe you're not going to eat exactly when you thought, or you're not going to play you're not going to play the games, you know, the board games, or watch the movies that you wanted. You know, be in the moment is probably the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
For sure.
Yeah.
Eating at a certain time is an ongoing joke in our family.
Oh, really?
That's what made me laugh out loud.
Yeah. Why? What's the range?
My mother has an odd tradition where even though she knows everyone's hungry, she won't let anyone eat until the food is ready.
Yeah, oh yeah, me too. No, it's all gotta be ready.
But the problem is the food often isn't ready until like 5 p.m.
That's not bad.
But that's like fasting, right? I mean,
that's essentially... See, that's good for us. Yes. We usually don't eat till 6 or 7 or so.
You know, 7 p.m.
How does she pull that off? I don't know if I have that skill to fend off people that are...
Just an
hungry? Iron Maiden. I mean,
I gotta have her give me a little lesson.
Tough love.
Yeah, not my strength.
Yeah, there's no question. So, on good years, you know, she'll make breakfast, you know, at 7 a.m. or something like that to hold us over. But otherwise, we're kind of like sneaking food to one another in different parts of the house.
And you're not allowed to eat anything else because she'll say that you're going to be too full to eat.
You're not appreciating the food, right? She's laboring for 12, 15, 20 hours cooking.
Yeah.
And then you're over here trying to snack. And like, no, she just doesn't appreciate
that. She is good.
Wow. She is good.
Yeah. So,
Todd's like, that's one way to put it.
It absolutely, the food is worth the wait. But every year, it's like you have to come in ready. Like you try to overeat before you go to the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you sleep over, like you have some storage kind of stocked up, right?
Yeah. But that also becomes part of the story and kind of the shared experience too, is that mom's not going to let anybody eat until 5. You know, it's kind of part, you know, like those are sort of the familiar things and the traditions that's just part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, the 847 says, Patty, don't feel so bad about your gravy. My brother-in-law says he could read a book through theirs. I don't know. I guess it's okay. It's clear. Well, yeah, and mine was a clear gravy. That was the thing. Oh. Was that it was yeah, it was gross. I'm just gonna be honest. Mine was
clear.
It was almost more like a broth than a gravy. You've seen that before. It was.
No, I have not.
You've seen it before. You didn't know it was gravy. It was someone's. Yeah, you're like, that can't be gravy. That looks like soup. That looks like soup. Anything you want to let people know before we let you go? I mean, you're welcome to hang out. I just know that it's late.
I think final thoughts of the moment from what I'm hearing people kind of the most stressed about, I think, is like knowing when to stop. There's so much coming at you and so much that you're trying to stay on top of, and eventually realizing like, okay, that's it for today. Like it's impossible to do everything that you want to do and stay on top of everything, and eventually just say like, the rest I'll just have to pick up tomorrow. And
yes,
not.
I agree.
Try to get it all done.
Yep, take the pressure off yourself.
Yes.
Let yourself off the hook and forgive yourself.
Yes.
I think that's
yes.
And others. I mean, that might be harder, yes, but you can forgive others. Thank you so much, Dr. Deborah Kissin, for joining us tonight. She is the Executive Director of Light on Anxiety Treatment Center. You can go to lightonanxiety.com for more information, and we look forward to having you back. There's another holiday coming up very soon, so I'm sure we'll need you back.
I would love to.
More in a moment. We want to find out more about the event that Todd's got going on tomorrow night at the Virgin Hotel. I believe it's from 5 to 8 o'clock, but we'll make sure you have all that information. It's a free event, and it's a great panel. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis when we come back. 720 WGN. Tomorrow night, friend of the show, Todd Belcore, will be joining a panel at Room 72, the Impact Generation, and he'll be joining Danielle Robay, Adam Forrest, Max LaManna, Stephen Garten, and Ryan Mundy. And this is all part of IndustryTV.com and their collaboration with Virgin Hotel. So it's at Virgin Hotel. You can go to IndustryTV.com. That's IndustryTV.com. And joining us, of course, is Todd Belcore, Executive Director for Social Change. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. If you have any questions or comments, you can call or text us anytime, 312-981-7200. And Todd, I know that as soon as you finish your film fest, you do one in New York, one in Los Angeles, one in Chicago, and it was a beautiful location this year, right down there by
DuSable Museum.
DuSable Museum, which I'd never been to before.
Yes.
And it was gorgeous. You had an incredible a fashion show, and I unfortunately was not able to make it for the film fest because last year I was dazzled by some of the incredible folks that submitted for that. And how did it go? How did it go this year? Because I'm guessing it was as successful, if not more so than in years past.
Yeah, it was an incredibly successful set of events. Really grateful for all the people who supported, but also even more grateful for the team of people put it on. Whether it be the leadership at DuSable Museum, President Perry Ermer over there, she's a wonderful leader within the city and beyond, leading an international jewel right here in the city of Chicago. But also our lead in L.A., Aide Rodriguez, a true millennial, who just completely ran the show for us in Los Angeles and made it a bar none a success. So I'm really grateful for all the people who stepped up to make this an incredible experience for people from all over the world to enjoy.
And a lot of the storytelling in the films, there's a huge range. There's documentaries, there's fictional stories.
Yeah.
And I know so many things happen, and seeing it through someone else's eyes can also be transformative, and that's what's so great about the film festival.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, the goal of the festival generally is to use film as a vehicle to transport people to someone else's experience, to give them the separation from whatever their day-to-day life is, to really dive into some other life in a way that provides clarity about the struggle and makes you want to do something different than you may have already done. And it's been successful in that regard. I mean, we have people who get involved in organizations and movements for change that otherwise weren't even considering it. Not for, lack of compassion, but lack of knowledge. And so the idea is to provide that education and inspiration for people.
And that's kind of the beauty of filmmaking, too. And I know we talked about this the last time as well, but it reaches the neighborhoods, the generations.
Yeah.
It doesn't look at skin color or gender. I mean, everybody has a story to tell in their own way.
That's right.
And I love how you encourage that.
Oh, thank you. And we enjoy the fact that it's a truly international festival and that we receive submissions from all over the world. And I think And that's been helpful for our credibility abroad as we talk about really trying to make an impact in people's lives.
And I know that that's one way to transport people, but you just came back from a trip around the world. See what I did transition there? I was following some of your adventures, and I saw that when I saw that you were at Copenhagen, I was super jealous. But tell us a little bit about what took you to places like Denmark, Sweden, Sweden, Turkey, and Azerbaijan, which I've never
Azerbaijan.
Been. Azerbaijan, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I had the good fortune to be invited by some other leaders, international leaders who are promoting peace and prosperity through various organizational ties that they have, and to speak with some elected officials in different countries, Azerbaijan, Sweden, as you mentioned, Turkey, and business leaders and other people who care about what best practices could look like if you use technology, if you use some of the things that we've managed to do in the States, but also what things are being done in Asia, what things are being done in Europe as kind of a crowdfunding of ideas, crowdsourcing of ideas. And we had a chance to really have a really incredible tour of multiple countries and see just the majesty of how big this world is and just really widen all of our horizons. And I think the permanent humility that I was able to acquire through that trip, I think was really important for me as a learning experience. Because, you know, everything you do when you're in a country that you don't have a ton of familiarity with is just you stepping in silence and making sure you're paying attention to figure out, you know, what within that region, which within that culture is acceptable, appropriate, timely. So it requires you to be listening, also very quiet. And I think that was a very important lesson for me going forward, and just to make sure that I'm honoring whatever that moment needs or requires in a way that maybe I wasn't as attuned to previously.
Well, because you have all this experience, and obviously as somebody who works in academics, you have a law degree, and you occupy so many of these roles. So it is interesting to hear you say how to be silent, you know, but you often are kind of, you seem to observe a lot. I think that that's something that you've done before. So tell me what you mean by permanent humility.
Yeah, because I mean, every experience is new, kind of by definition, but it's more mind-blowing when every interaction is completely something beyond what you may have expected previously.
Right.
So when you're meeting the mayor of the only predominantly Jewish town in a Muslim country, it's like, you know, how do you approach that as you go to a memorial and discussing, you know, genocide in multiple countries and things like that? So, you know, you may have ideas, you may have thoughts, but that's really the time to shut up and just listen. And
right.
If someone asks you something, great.
Right.
Particularly, it's difficult when you feel like you have expertise or something to add, but you just want to wait for the time that's appropriate. So I think that's one of the reasons why I was invited to be part of a press conference in Azerbaijan about some of the endeavors we're engaging in Europe, Asia, and in America as a multiple country effort to promote peace and prosperity. Because I think that the amount of deference I show to the history of the countries and the culture warranted giving me enough space to even speak on their national network, which is really something I've never done in the States.
Right.
So I'm really grateful for that sort of opportunity.
I love the word that you use, humble, too. I mean, it's humbling to hear you say humble when you go to all these different countries and learn about their cultures. I think that's very cool. I think it's a word that's, I think it's forgotten on a lot of people when we travel.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. And I mean, the people were just, you know, way too kind, and the hospitality was through the roof. And I think it's important for people to travel, because the more I travel, the more I realize how much, outside of, you know, of course, the Patty V show, how much the news just misrepresents what's going on in different places. And I think it's really unfortunate.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah. What kind of questions did they have for you? Was there anything that seemed to come up as a, you know, was there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You can tell us.
No, sure. I mean, everyone wants to figure out why Trump is president.
They want to figure out. Okay.
And what does the midterm elections mean?
Okay.
What do they mean? And I mean, down to why is the U.S. killing the most people in the entire world? And just some of the more graphic sort of history of things we've done.
Did you talk at all? I mean, because I know that you're one of the things that you focus on, in particular when it comes to legislation in the state of Illinois and in Missouri, is social reform when it comes to the justice system.
Right.
And did you have conversations about, you know, the comparison or what their legal systems are like there and in the other parts of the world?
And that's an example where I think the humility is required, because there's such a, I mean, we have so many issues in our system, there's no question. But the sort of systems in other countries are starkly different, intentionally. And the distinctions are so significant that I didn't feel that. I mentioned some ideas, but I think if I've gone any further, would have come across as judgmental.
I see.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I asked Todd about the story, this young man who was shot at a bar when a fight broke out. There were shots fired first the fight had broken out, and then somebody left and came back with a gun and started shooting. And in the ensuing moments, a security guard who was working at the bar, Jamal Roberson, who is from Chicago, and as I found out yesterday, was a graduate of Lane Tech High School. So a lot of my fellow classmates have been sharing stories about him.
Wow.
And this is one of those instances where I know that the police department, the Midlothian Police Department, which was where the officer was from, has said they've had a couple different statements. One that this is a story that's gone national, and I was surprised to see a piece about it in the Washington Post. And of course, people have this angle of like, look, here was a good guy with a gun.
Right.
And in the ensuing moments of that, and the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is because you come from this unique background of you're biracial. You have family members that are in law enforcement. You have family members who have been on the other side of the legal system. And so I was surprised that you hadn't heard the story yet. So I was the first one to share that with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just got back today.
Right.
So I started traveling equivalent probably like, you know, 6 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And that news doesn't get to the other country. But
of course,
it's shocking how much news that's kind of what I would consider breaking news, like wars in Yemen, things like that, that we never hear about
Don't come here, sure.
So it is interesting the way news is controlled, even by free press. You know. So, but this is incredibly important, of course, as it relates to not just the police accountability work I engage in, but just the basic humanity. Human rights, I feel like we're on the ballot in this last election cycle. And I think if you can't respect the fact that witnesses are yelling out, you know, he's a security guard, and he's still being shot for ostensibly no other reason than a black man with a gun, shows how deep these issues are and continue to be.
Right. And I wonder if, you know, is there, I guess, a way to distinguish and let law enforcement know whether it's by, you know, but if they're wearing like a shirt, or I'm not sure.
Well, witnesses on the scene, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to read up on it.
Yes.
witnesses on the scene were screaming out, he's a security guard. So the question is how much time, whether police even took the time to really hear that,
right,
is one of the questions. So how much time elapsed between coming to the scene, recognizing there's someone with a gun, and taking the time to determine what's going on.
Right.
Rather than having just the knee jerk, especially if it's not being pointed in your direction, it's just someone present with one.
Right.
And I think we've seen countless mass murderers who were taken in without, you know, being killed. We've seen a lot of other people who have been clearly a threat to other people who are arrested if they're not, you know. So I'm not sure why we can't deploy the same level of sense and reason.